Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness towards us. In the house of the Lord today, we are here. As always, the word of God, when it comes in, the Bible says the entrance thereof brings light. Let that light shine in our hearts. Give us the revelation, the knowledge, and the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord another round of applause for Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You know, so, I mean, we did a good job with the review session today. I actually didn't know that we were going to have as thorough a review. So I was going to do a review during this segment. But we did a good review already. You know, and I am glad. I want us to look at a few things, but before we do that, I want to sing, you know, just one chorus. I want you to join me. Brother James, you're going to help me with this one. You know, so I also sang this, I raised this song, this chorus, at the beginning of my message last week. And I want us to sing it again just a couple of times before I'm going to do a summary and a roundup, especially because we already did a good job with the review today. But there are some questions I want to answer and, you know, just round up that message. The message was the oneness of the Godhead. So you can consider this part two, and we'll finish it up here in just a few minutes. This won't be very long. I believe that there is one God, the Almighty. I believe that Jesus is the Lord, the Almighty. Those who believe will be translated and go on. Those who believe are highly favored. Do you believe? I believe that there is one God, the Almighty. I believe that Jesus is the Lord, the Almighty. Those who believe will be translated and go on. Those who believe are highly favored. Hallelujah. Well, you're going to have to do a little more than just believing. Because the devils also believe. In James 2 and verse 19, the devil believes that there is one God. And he trembles. You know, but the devil always likes to take away from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's the reason for all of these things. So you can read that in James, you know, chapter 2 and verse 19. He said, well, thou believest that there is one God, well, thou doest well. The devils also believe, and they tremble. So we're going to do a little more than just believing. You know, there is a scripture that Jesus taught in the book of Matthew chapter 13. In that chapter, he was talking about many parables. One of the longer ones in that chapter was the parable of the sower. The sower sowed his seed, and the one that fell by the wayside, there were many categories there, and Jesus explained them. But the one that fell by the wayside is the one I want to talk about today. You know, just for a few minutes. It's not, no, it took too long about that. But Jesus said that the one that fell by the wayside, he said, they did not have understanding. And because he didn't have understanding, then the birds of the air came and picked it up. So, I mean, it's not because the birds of the air picked it up was why they didn't have understanding, but it's because they didn't have understanding in the first place. So it was easy for them to just give up, you know, what they have already heard. The enemy was able to come in and steal what they already had because they didn't have understanding. And part of the discussion this morning was that the Lord should give us understanding. Amen. Praise the Lord. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we read where, you know, the scripture says, no man can say that Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Amen. So he, you know, he comes by revelation, and we've heard about that. So you can read that in 1 Corinthians 12 and 3. So we've heard about that. So it's not about arguments and stuff. It comes by revelation. And one person gave a scripture today of talked about in 1 Corinthians 13, which we also covered it last time. I actually covered it from, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, where I read, you know, the first couple of verses there. And I read it and said, you know, that knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Amen. So, you know, people have a lot of knowledge and stuff like that. You know, they may get puffed up, but love edifies. And God is love. Amen. Now, let me explain a few scriptures that I didn't have time to explain last week, and I will answer a few questions. And I want to read first in the book of 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And I'm going to read from verse 7. From verses 7 through 9, I want to explain the distinction between oneness in number and oneness in unity or agreement. So there's a difference. So let's read it here. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Now notice that. And there are three that bear witness in the earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Now, if we receive the witness of man, a witness of God is greater. You know, people listen to Eyewitness News all the time, or watch CNN or CBS or some other channel, and Fox News and so forth. And, you know, report to you things which you believe. You're not there, but you believe it. If you receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. Amen. And this is the witness that God has given concerning testified of his own son. So let's look at verse 7, and let's compare that with verse 8. Verse 7 talks about the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. Now that's oneness in number, not one in agreement. Because if it's one in agreement, then verse 8 would not use a different phrase. The phrase in verse 8 says that the Spirit, the water, and the blood agree in one. Those are not one. The Spirit, the water, and the blood are not one, but they agree in one. So there's a difference between oneness in number and oneness in unity or agreement. Now, all of us are one body in Christ. And, you know, so we are one in one body, and we are, by the grace of God, encouraged to be one in singleness of purpose and oneness of mind and so forth. You know, that's one in agreement. You know, but one in number is different. Now, husband and wife are really one, but, you know, if somebody has never met my wife, you know, or met me, and they met either one of us, you know, and they've never met my wife, and say, why are you asking for my wife? If you have seen me, you have seen my wife. That would be so far from the truth. Because if you have seen me, you have not necessarily seen my wife, because she, you know, I'm not the express image of her, neither is she the express image of me. But Jesus said that to Philip. We covered this last week. He said that to Philip in John chapter 14. He said, why are you asking me to show you the Father separately? Don't you believe that the Father is in me and I am in him? You know, why are you then asking this? Have I been so long time with you and yet you don't know me? You know, so it's not how long you've been in the Lord. It's not how long you've been coming to church. It's by revelation. One time Jesus took a census, opinion poll. He said, who do they say that is Christ is and so forth? And everybody said one thing or the other, and they said everything. So finally he said, okay, fine. What about you? Whom do you say that Jesus is? in Son of Man is. And then Peter brought something out, and Jesus said, that was given to you by revelation. Amen. Now let's read some things about his pre-existence, you know, which of course we read, you know, some of them last week, but I was rushing through so many, you know, scriptures last week. I did ask people to write it down and so forth, but let me read some of the scriptures that I enjoyed more that I didn't have a chance to really give last week. So this one we're going to talk about, you know, is in the book of Micah chapter 5. In the book of Micah chapter 5 verse 2, and this is a prophecy that goes, you know, a prophecy of old. In fact, when the wise men saw the star when Jesus was born, and they came and were saying, where is he that is born, the king of the Jews, and so on and so forth, you know. Then we noticed in that day, in those days, that Herod, you know, called, you know, all the wise men and everybody and all the scribes and so forth, and said, look, where is it that Christ is going to be born? Because he had, you know, he had a different thing in his mind of what he wanted to do. He had a diabolical plan of wiping up the Christ, you know. And they quoted this scripture, you know, to bring it out. But this scripture is wonderful. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, or the governor of my people, whose goings forth have been from of old, even from everlasting. Amen. He didn't just set up shop. He has been from everlasting. Hallelujah. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul was reminding the people of some of the things that happened in the olden days. You know, and here's what he had to say. Let's read just quickly verse 4. He said, look, don't forget the things that happened to our fathers. They all passed through the sea, and they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat in verse 3. And in verse 4, he says, and they did all drink of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock, capital R, that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Amen. This was something that happened in the Old Testament. You know, we know the story about the rock, you know, water coming out of the rock and so forth. The Holy Ghost is telling us in this scripture, that very rock was Christ way back then. Praise the Lord. Now, of course, I don't think that any believer, there's no believer anywhere that denies the fact, you know, that, you know, the Lord has his pre-existence. So, but let's read this scripture. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Let me read from perhaps about verse 23. This won't be very long. This is, like I said, it's just a summary today of some of the things that we've already covered. So 1 John chapter 2 and verses 22 and 23. Who is a liar? Verse 22. But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. Now the Christ is that whom we read about in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. He that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist. And it's the Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. So we can never deny the Father and the Son. Amen. The Father and the Son, we cannot deny. Now, but listen to this. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son, hath the Father also. You know, so we cannot deny these things. And much of it has been covered in the review. You know, we covered about the reasons why, you know, God put things out there like that. You know, so, but I want to just read a few other scriptures here just to help us understand better. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In John chapter 8, verse 24, that wonderful discussion that Jesus had there, we covered this last week, where he revealed himself, you know, and so forth, of being there with Abraham, seeing him, and they said, you are not yet 50 years old and all that. We covered that last week. But today I just want to focus on this one scripture. I said therefore unto you that you should die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, then you shall die in your sins. And he's putting the emphasis on that. If you don't believe, you know, that I am he, you know, the one question was asked today, why is it important for us to believe that way or understand that way? Well, it's right here in this scripture. Except you believe that he is the one. The Bible says you will die in your sins. And we don't want to die in our sins. Praise the Lord. Let me explain some difficult scriptures here that people may have read in the Bible and don't understand them and so forth. Well, it comes by revelation. You know, Paul said, well, that you may understand my revelation in the knowledge of Christ and so forth. You know, well, I don't claim to have all the answers, but here is the way that I understand from the scriptures. Let's read the book of John, chapter 3. And this was the story of Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night. Many of us know this scripture because John 3:16 is a very popular verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So just about everybody knows that scripture. But three verses before that scripture is actually what I want to read today. John chapter 3 and verse 13. Now, of course, Jesus was telling Nicodemus some hard things, like a man must be born again and so forth. You know, so let me start from verse 10. Because in verse 9, Nicodemus said unto Jesus, well, how can these things be? And Jesus said, well, are thou a master in Israel and you don't know these things? I mean, you know, you don't know these things? He didn't know. Well, verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus told him, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you receive not our witness. Now, listen to this. Verse 12 is very important. Jesus had been telling him some things like you must be born again. You must do all of these things. And say, can a man enter into his mother's womb and be born again? So Jesus was just telling him some things, and he didn't understand it. So Jesus now goes on and says, look, if I have told you of earthly things, like being born again and so forth, that's an earthly thing. People get born all the time. If I have told you of an earthly thing, you know, you don't believe, how then are you going to believe if I tell you of heavenly things? He asked him that question. So he's going to turn around and tell him one thing right now to challenge him. I told you about being born again. It's an earthly thing. You're talking about entering into the mother's womb and you can't understand that. If you don't believe that, well, how are you going to believe this? And he went on and said, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, talking to you right now, which is in heaven. Hello, folks. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus right here, right now. And he said, I've already told you some earthly things and you don't believe. What are you going to do now if I tell you something heavenly? So, well, okay. So he drops this bombshell upon him, you know, and he said, no man has gone to heaven at any time except he that came down from heaven. Even the Son of Man, which is right now in heaven. But are you kidding me? You're standing right here and you're telling me that the Son of Man is in heaven. Well, that's a scripture that comes only by revelation. Amen. The Son of Man standing right there with him and telling him that the Son of Man is heaven. That's one of the heavenly things, because he couldn't understand the earthly thing. So he dumped one heavenly thing upon him. And, you know, the man was perhaps even more confused. But, you know, the Lord gives us these things by revelation. Amen. Now let's look at some scriptures and tie them together. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 28. Because this is one scripture that has been a, well, I don't know, bone of contention and so forth. There's no controversy in the scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture, singular. All scripture is one. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is good for instruction in righteousness, profitable for doctrine, and so on and so forth, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So let's look at Matthew chapter 28. And let's read from verses 18, which is where Jesus was about to part from them. And this is what he said to them. Matthew 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And anywhere else for that matter. You know. He said, all power. There's no other power besides him. And he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Now this is what he said. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And teaching them to observe all the things whatsoever I have commanded you and so forth. Now this scripture in verse 19, where it says, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, has caused some confusion. And because of that, some people are actually praying that name. There's no scripture. As I said last Sunday, it tells us to pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. There's no scripture like that. We're supposed to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this scripture, you have to take it and compare it with Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Ghost came. There is no controversy in the scripture, so bear with me while I explain this. What does it mean? Why is it this way then? In Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 36, when Peter had preached this wonderful message to them, you know, and then they said, well, what are we going to do? And he said, look, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ, told them in verse 36. And then in verse 37, they were pricked in their hearts and they asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter went on and said, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know, and if this scripture is different from Matthew 28 and 19, then we have a big problem. We have a big problem. You know, there is no, you know, there's no argument about who said this or who said that. You know, all scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And it's not by inspiration of man. Matthew 28, 19 must mean exactly the same thing as this Acts 2 and verse 38. They have to mean the same thing. It can't be different. If one says something different than the other, then we've got a big confusion. What it then means is if you put the two scriptures side by side, it means baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit has to be the same thing as baptizing them in the name of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, to give you a personal testimony, this thing I just said many years ago, I don't know, maybe 30 or more years ago, was how the Lord revealed this understanding to me. Because I understood from beginning that scripture cannot contradict itself. So I looked at one scripture and I looked at the other scripture and I said, these two scriptures must be saying the same thing. The Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost and Peter was speaking by the Holy Ghost and said this thing. It cannot be different from what Jesus had said. So if having that basic foundation, then that means that what Jesus said in Matthew 28 and 19, and what Peter quoted in this verse have to be the same thing, which means the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit has to be the same as the name of Jesus Christ. That's what it means. Those two scriptures have to be exactly the same. Now, throughout the act of the scriptures, that was already covered during the review, and I don't want to take time to do that. But you can check every single place in the act of the scriptures where they actually did that. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, That can't be different from what Jesus said. It's got to be the same thing. Now, knowing then that it's the same thing, Jesus asked one question, one interesting question that I want to read in Mark chapter 12. Now, I said I'm going to answer some questions, not because I'm going to take questions. That would be too rowdy. I'm just going to pose the questions and answer them myself. Here's one question that Jesus posed in Mark chapter 12. Let's read it. Mark chapter 12, let me start from about perhaps verse 35 or so. See if I can find it. So, Mark chapter 12, verse 35. And Jesus answered as he taught in the temple and said, well, how say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? Now, you know, Jesus himself referred to the scriptures many times. Because one time when they said that his disciples were going through the corn, eating and all that on a Sabbath day, and they came to him, the first thing that Jesus said is, have you never read what David did in the scriptures? How he went to the house of God in the Sabbath day and ate the showbread that wasn't right for him to eat and even gave to his followers in the days of Abiathar the priest? So Jesus made reference to the scriptures all the time. He even made reference in Matthew chapter, you know, Luke chapter 4 and so forth. He went, you know, in verse 18, he took, you know, the scrolls of Isaiah and read in the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and so forth, and said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your eyes. And he made reference to scriptures all the time. But it seems as if he's challenging something here. He said, well, how say the scribes, you know, that Christ is the son of David? Well, it's not just the scribe that said it. It's in the scriptures, you know. You know, God shall give him the throne of his father David and so on and so forth. We know it's all over the scriptures. You know, but Jesus is going to bring something out here. You know, so when he said it, well, he's going to answer his own questions. He's going to ask it again, and ask it again. So, and Jesus said, well, for David himself, he's going to make this argument. David himself, speaking by the Holy Ghost, and you can read it in Psalm 110, said, the Lord, that's Elohim, Jehovah. The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make your enemies thy footstool. And Jesus is referring to this scripture that David said, you know, the Lord, whom everybody calls the God of Israel, you know, said to my Lord, which is the Christ, sit thou on my right hand until I make your your enemies your footstool. And listen to what Jesus said in verse 37. David therefore calleth him Lord. If he's Lord, how come then he's his son? And you know, and he just left it like that. And the common people heard him gladly. Now that's the common people, not the Sadducees, not the educated people, not the smart ones, and so forth. They weren't happy about it, you know, but the common people heard him gladly. Well, he didn't go to explain it. But yes, indeed, he is the son of David. Amen. That's right. Now, many scriptures are referred to that. I don't have time to go into all of it all. And even when he came in the days of his early ministry, people would yell out to him, oh, thou son of David, have mercy upon me, and so forth. You know, even one woman, she said that to him and so forth. And he just ignored her, you know. And perhaps because she didn't have the right to call him son of David because she wasn't really of the house of Israel. And then finally he said something like, look, I cannot take the children's bread and give it to dogs. And he was going to bring something out. And this woman pierced the veil. Hallelujah. Jesus said, look, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, maybe it wasn't time. But this woman stood her ground. This woman would not take no for an answer. You know, whether you came for Israel or not, whether I'm the dog or not, I'm going to get the crumbs. Amen. And this woman, she reached out beyond her time. And Jesus finally said, my goodness, I have not seen so much faith, not even in Israel. You know, she said, look, dogs may not eat the bread, but they're going to stay by the table and crumbs will fall down and the bread crumbs will be for the dogs. And that's good enough for me, she said. Hallelujah. She went home with her miracle that day. You know, so throughout the day, scriptures, they call him son of David. We know that. But he's going to explain it, He's not just son of David, but he's actually before David. Amen. Revelation 22 and verse 16 brings it all together. You know, Jesus, he puts it out there all together. Here's what he says. You know, he says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root. Now, the root comes first. I am the root and the offspring of David. So he's saying that again as his offspring. But people want to make him just the offspring and forget that he's also the root. Amen. I am the root. That means he was before David and came later. You have to read Matthew chapter 3 and see the genealogy and so forth, how it comes down to it. And, you know, Mary herself was of the house of David, even though it doesn't say it in that scripture. But Joseph, who was supposed to be her husband at that time, was also of the house of David, and brought it all down together. You know, so he was first the root, and then later the offspring. So root comes first. You know, but what Jesus was saying was that, you know, how come they're always trying to diminish the Christ as the son of David and forget that he's also the Lord of David? You know, but he explains it here. I am the root and the offspring of David. So he came first and then he came later in that same lineage. Praise the Lord. Finally, he's also the bright and the morning star. And throughout the scriptures, the theme seems to be about Jesus Christ. You know, everywhere you go, in every Bible book, always seems to be about Jesus Christ. And as we read last week and also today, it has pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Praise the Lord. And when we were covering the book of Revelation, you can go back and look on the website for those early chapters of the book of Revelation. We covered the greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let me just read a few verses to you before we close of the things he said, how he introduced himself to John when he gave him those wonderful messages to write to the church and so forth. Here is Revelation chapter 1. Let's start at very verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, this book is the revelation of Jesus Christ, not the revelation of John. Some people think it's John's revelation. No, it's not the revelation of John. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show to his servants, not to hide, but to show to his servants the things which must come to pass. And he sent and signified it by the hand of his angel unto his servant John. So we see it's the revelation of Jesus. It's all about Jesus Christ, the whole thing. Now, here's how Jesus explained and introduced himself after he looked and saw, you know, those, you know, candlesticks and all that stuff, you know. Listen to this. Verse 8. Revelation 1, 8. Now, this is Jesus speaking. And if you have your Bible, those that have the red letter edition, you'll see that this is in all in red letters. Jesus is speaking here. I am Alpha and Omega. And I am the beginning and the ending. Praise the Lord. And this is, I'm going to close on this. I'm going to also tell you another reason why it is so important. Because this is where the power lies. The power, you say, all power in heaven and on earth is given unto me. And the book of Acts chapter 4 verses 11 and 12 tell us that neither is there salvation in any other. This is the stone that was rejected. This is the stone that the devil tried to cut him to pieces, tried to make nothing of him, but he is the head of the corner. God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, including Lucifer. Hallelujah. That's right. Lucifer, he will bow. And you know, Satan, he gets away so far from that anointing. He can't mess with that. And Jesus said, you know, I thank you, Father in heaven, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, but you have revealed them unto babes. For so it seemeth good in thy sight. Why does it always seem that he's always talking to the Father? Yes, because there is the Father. Hallelujah. Just because, you know, the word was made flesh doesn't mean that heaven was empty. No. I came forth and proceeded out of God. You know, But heaven was not empty. And we proved last week that the Holy Spirit was his Father. So we showed that he's still talking to the Father, yeah, because, and he tried to teach the people that relationship as well. In this manner, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Amen. So I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. And we gave you many scriptures last week where he referenced himself as the Holy One of Israel. You know, you have to go back to your notes. I'm not going to go through that. And listen to this. Also, in verse 18. Well, let me start at verse 17. And when I heard all these things and saw him with the flaming sharp sword and all his countenance like a flame of fire and the sun shining in his strength, John fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not. Oh, yeah. John has heard that before. Fear not. I am the first and the last. Amen. That's right. I like that. I am the first and the last. You know, and he said, write the things which thou hast seen and all that. But before he said that, listen to what he said in verse 18. Just so you know who he's talking. Because John might be thinking in his head, I am the first and the last. There's only one person that's first and last. That's God Almighty. Well, that's true. But Jesus said here, I am he that liveth and was dead. So we know that was Jesus. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And not only that, I whooped the devil's baton and got the keys of hell and death from him. Amen. Jesus whooped the devil from pillar to post. And he got the keys of hell and death from him. Hallelujah. So we never need to be afraid anymore. In Hebrews chapter 2, you know, from verses 10 to 14, he has delivered them who through all their lifetime were subject to bondage of death, of the fear of death. You know, because Jesus has abolished that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let me ask you this question. I gave this analogy one time when we were doing a Bible study some years ago. And I'll give it again today. You know, and this is not to argue about anything and so forth. I mean, I love everybody in my heart and I prayed, you know, my heart out, you know, and so forth. You know, I said, Lord, you know, it's all from you. You know, you help your children to understand. But the one thing I'm going to say before I close this is one other reason why we should understand it. I'll say that. But before I say that, if you are the first and you are the last, I mean, I look in this room, there's many people here. And if I took note of the, you know, right now, I said everybody should leave this room right now. You know, and I take note. And I see how you file out. Everybody should file out and go to the banquet hall. And I take note. And I look at the first person that leaves the room. And after you are all filed out, I looked at the last person that leaves the room. And then I come back later and said, well, the first person that left the room and the last person that left the room were the same person. What does that tell you? That cannot be in this group that we have right here. If the first person that leaves the room is the last person that leaves the room, mathematically speaking, there was only one person in the room. There's just no way you can do it. You can't be the first and be the last if there's somebody in between. Praise the Lord. So, I am the first. Now, you can't place him as second or third or fourth or fifth. I am the first. It's what Jesus said. And except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Now, that's not our portion in Jesus' name, because we believe. Amen. And the Apostle Paul said, look, we are persuaded better things even though we thus speak. You know, but we have to teach these things because we don't want any man's blood on our hands. We have to teach these things, but we are persuaded better things. You know, so I am the first and I am the last. And there is no other God beside me. I know not else, he said. Hallelujah. And finally, let's read just a portion here in Hebrews chapter 7 before we close. And when we were covering the book of Hebrews many years ago, I believe in our old building, we did cover this. And I just want to read some part of this. You know, I love it when we give praise to the Lord and when we exalt him. Hallelujah. Amen. When we exalt him, it is great. Thank you, Jesus. So, in this chapter, you have to read all of it to understand it, and even the chapter before. But let me just read a few verses, starting from verse 1. For this Melchizedek, who was the king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first, talking about Melchizedek, being by interpretation king of righteousness, that's what Melchizedek means, and also king of Salem, that's king of peace. You know, that's what he says, the king of Salem means king of peace. And look at what he said again after that. He is without father. I mean, who was this strange Melchizedek? He is without father. He is without mother. He is without descent. Having neither beginning of days, nor ending of life, but made like unto the Son of God. Now, that was a different kind of priesthood, which God was going to establish at the end. But he showed himself to Melchizedek. He showed himself to Abraham. And he said, this Melchizedek had no beginning and no ending. He's made out unto the Son of Life, not end of life. No beginning of days, no end of life. Made out unto the Son of God, he abided a priest forever. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, your father, Abraham, he rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it. And when he saw it, he was glad. And they said, no way you could have seen Abraham. You are not even, it's like one of you here, perhaps we have some people here, some of our elders, you know, that are in their 70s. And we can say, okay, so you are in your 70s. There is no way you could have seen Abraham. That's what they told Jesus. He was only in his 30s. And they said, you're not even 50 years old. And then he told them one of the most astonishing things in that Bible. And closed up their mouths forever. Of course, they killed him for it. You know, or they eventually plotted his killing because of that. And he said, before Abraham was. What did he say, folks? Now, hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. Before Abraham was, he never said I was. He is I am, present continuous. He is a self-existent one, the eternal flame. He divided the flame of fire. You know, but the bush wasn't burned. And he said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said the same thing right here. Before Abraham was, I am. Now, I am going to call the prayer line right now. Now, you can't mock God. There's no argument in my head, and I'm not arguing anything in my head. But I believe that that's where the power lies. The power in heaven and on earth is given to the name of Jesus Christ. And there is no other name whereby we must be saved. So I am going to ask, let's stand to our feet right now. Everybody, stand to your feet. I am going to ask. First, I'm going to pray before I ask you to step out. Lord, I pray for the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of Christ, in the mighty name of Jesus, throughout the writings of the books of Paul the Apostle, he would pray that prayer. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints all of the glorious riches of God in Christ Jesus. Today, Lord, I pray for our people who are standing here and those that may hear us by audio later on, that the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of Christ, the true God, as we read in 1 John 5:20 last week, he said, that we may know him that is true, and in his Son, Jesus Christ. And this is the very true God and eternal life. This knowledge Why is it important? Because it is eternal life. To know him, who he is, that's the eternal life, folks. And he said it himself, if you don't believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Now, I'm going to pray. Not only that, how do we know that he is he? Well, because the apostles, they gave witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ by praying in his name. And by saying, look, faith through the name of Jesus Christ has given this man this perfect soundness before you all that you see today. Now, if he's still in the grave, we can't use his name. But because he is alive, so we use his name. That was their mission. That was the purpose of their mission. The apostles was to do that. Now, our purpose of our mission today is also to give witness to the resurrection. But not only the resurrection, he is soon coming again. Because he is not in the grave, folks. Now, every other god so-called, every other prophet so-called, they are dead. And their sepulchres are with us today. But he is the only one that said, I am alive forevermore. Hallelujah. And we are going to use his name to pray today. Now, this is not for me. It's not about me. It's not about anything. But it's about the name of Jesus Christ. His name, highly exalted. Above every name that is in heaven or on earth. Are you kidding me? Above every name, whether in heaven or even on earth, even in heaven, there's no other name, folks. Amen. Things to come. Angels or powers or principalities or anything. He is before all things. And by him all things consist. And he is the creator of all things. Hallelujah. So I'm going to ask you this. Now, I want you also to know that your miracle starts from when you understand it inside your heart. Not when the miracle itself happens. Because that woman that had the issue of blood, she knew within herself that if I can just touch the hem of his garment. So the miracle started within her. She already understood that she can only touch. And she made her way through the crowd just to do that. The miracle was already inside of her. Now, if you know within you today that there is none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Now, if you are not saved this morning, he said, we must be saved. Not that you should be saved. You must be saved. So you come out here and commit your life unto him. There is no other way, folks. He is a great God. He is the headstone God. He is a rejected headstone. He is now the head of the corner. And it's that little stone that Daniel saw as a small thing which grew to fill up the whole earth. And it's a stone. If you fall upon him, it's good for you. But don't let him fall upon you, because he'll grind you to pieces. So fall upon him today. Come out here and give your life to Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you have been dilly-dallying about the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot get any other place other than his name. This whole book from Genesis to Revelation is about Jesus Christ. If you have any incurable disease, or you have something that seems unachievable, we're going to prove it with the name of Jesus Christ today. Hallelujah. We're going to prove it with the name of Jesus Christ. Now, when I call the prayer line, I want you to make your line come out quickly. And I'm going to do this. Now, I want everybody that says, you need healing for something in your body which the devil said to you cannot be done. Whose report will you believe? Folks, or you're standing for somebody else, I want you to come quickly and stand here on this side of the aisle. And I'm going to pray for those that need healing.